weigh light, and it never has. It weighs heavy, just like you always said. It wasn't just bitching, and we both knew it. Someone who's overweight likes an inaccurate scale. It makes the actual facts easier to dismiss if... Heidi, if this scale says you weigh 229, that means you're really down to 227. Now let me... Heidi, let me make you an appointment. He paused, looking down at his bare feet, and then shook his head. Billy! I'll make it myself, he said. When? Wednesday. I'll make it Wednesday. Houston goes out to the country club every Wednesday afternoon and plays 9 holes. Sometimes he plays with the inimitable, tit-grabbing, wife-kissing Carrie Russington. I'll speak to him in person. Why don't you call him tonight, right now? Heidi, he said, no more. And something in his face must have convinced her not to push it any further, because she didn't mention it again that night. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Billy purposely kept off the scale upstairs. He ate heartily at meals, even though, for one of the few times in his adult life, he was not terribly hungry. He stopped hiding his munchies behind the packages of Lipton cup of soup in the pantry. He ate pepperoni slices and Munster cheese on Ritz crackers during the Yankees-Red Sox doubleheader on Sunday. A bag of caramel corn at work Monday morning, and a bag of cheese doodles on Monday afternoon. One of them, or possibly the combination, brought on a rather embarrassing farting spell that lasted from 4 o'clock until about 9 that night. Linda marched out of the TV room halfway through the news, announcing that she would be back if someone passed out gas masks. Billy grinned guiltily, but didn't move. His experience with farts had taught him that leaving the room to pass that sort of gas did very little good. It was as if the rotten things were attached to you with invisible rubber hands. They followed you around. But later, watching Injustice for All on home box office, he and Heidi ate up most of a Sara Lee cheesecake. During his commute home on Tuesday, he pulled off the Connecticut Turnpike at Norwalk and picked up a couple of Whoppers with cheese at the Burger King there. He began eating them the way he always ate when he was driving, just working his way through them, mashing them up, swallowing them down bite by bite. He came to his senses outside of Westport. For a moment, his mind seemed to separate from his physical self. It was not thinking, not reflection, it was separation. He was reminded of the physical sense of nausea he had felt on the bathroom scale the night he and Heidi had returned from Mohonk, and it had occurred to him that he had entered a completely new realm of mentation. He felt almost as if he had gained a kind of astral presence, a cognitive hitchhiker who was studying him closely. And what was that hitchhiker seeing? Something more ludicrous than horrible, most likely. Here was a man of almost 37, with bally shoes on his feet and Bausch & Lomb soft contact lenses on his eyes, a man in a three-piece suit that had cost $600, a 36-year-old overweight American male, Caucasian, sitting behind the wheel of a 1981 Oldsmobile 98, scarfing a huge hamburger while mayonnaise and shredded bits of lettuce dripped onto his charcoal-gray vest. You could laugh until you cried. Or screamed. He threw the remains of the second Whopper out the window and then looked at the mixed slime of juices and sauce on his hand with a desperate kind of horror. And then he did the only sane thing possible under the circumstances. He laughed and promised himself no more. The binge would end. That night, as he sat in front of the fireplace, reading the Wall Street Journal, Linda came in to bestow a goodnight kiss on him, drew back a little, and said, "You're starting to look like Sylvester Stallone, Daddy." "Oh, Christ," Halleck said, rolling his eyes, and then they both laughed. Billy Halleck discovered that a crude sort of ritual had attached itself to his procedure for weighing himself. When had it happened? He didn't know. As a kid, he had simply jumped on once in a while, taken a cursory glance at his weight, and then jumped off again. But at some point during the period when he had drifted up from 190 to a weight that was, as impossible as it seemed, an eighth of a ton, that ritual had begun. Ritual hell, he told himself. Habit. That's all it is, just a habit. ritual, his deeper mind whispered inarguably back. He was an agnostic, and he hadn't been through the doors of any church since age 19. But he recognized the ritual when he saw it, and this weigh-in procedure was almost a genuflection. "See, God, I do it the same every time. So keep this here white, upwardly mobile lawyer safe from the heart attack or stroke that every actuarial table in the world says I can expect right around the age of 47. In the name of cholesterol and saturated fats, we pray. Amen." The ritual begins in the bedroom. Take off the clothes. Put on the dark green velour robe. Chuck all the dirty clothes down the laundry chute. If this is the first or second wearing of the suit, and if there are no egregious stains on it, hang it neatly in the closet. Move down the hall to the bathroom. Enter with reverence, awe, reluctance. Here is the confessional where one must face one's weight, and, consequently, one's fate. Doff the robe. Hang it on the hook by the tub. Void the bladder. If a bowel movement seems a possibility, even a remote possibility, go for it. He had absolutely no idea how much the average bowel movement might weigh, but the principle was logical, unshakable. Throw all the ballast overboard that you could. Heidi had observed this ritual, and she had once sarcastically asked him if he wouldn't like an ostrich feather for his birthday. Then, she said, he could stick it down his throat and vomit once or twice before weighing himself. Billy told her not to be a wise ass, and later that night had found himself musing that the idea actually had its attractions. On Wednesday morning, Halleck threw this ritual overboard for the first time in years. On Wednesday morning, Halleck became a heretic. He had perhaps become something even blacker, because like a devil worshipper who deliberately perverts a religious ceremony by hanging crosses upside down and reciting the Lord's Prayer backward, Halleck entirely reversed his field. He dressed, filled his pockets with all the change he could find, plus his Swiss Army knife, of course, put on his clunkiest, heaviest shoes, and then ate a gigantic breakfast, grimly ignoring his throbbing bladder. He downed 2 fried eggs, 4 strips of bacon, toast, and hash browns. He drank orange juice and a cup of coffee, 3 sugars. With all of that sloshing around inside of him, Halleck grimly made his way up the stairs to the bathroom. He paused for a moment, looking at the scale. Looking at it had been no treat before, but it was even less pleasant now. He steeled himself and got on.